Well, I appreciate that, and I'm really, as I said, honored to be with you because I think it is a God appointment. We really did have options of different places we could be today, and the Lord seemed to say, come here. And I tell you, I kind of notice when God's doing things. I look at this church, your history, the way you've grown, the facilities you have, the miracles you've seen, the talents you have, the people that's assembled here. It's just everywhere you look, you see the hand of God. And I'm really honored to be here because of Brother Hosey. He's the one called me and talked to me about this, and I have such incredible respect for him. The ministry he's had and has and will have. And again, I want to remind you, he who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion. So you're headed somewhere. Just keep growing. I mean, it's going to be awesome and incredible. I love your search committee. I think I shared with you this morning, I have never had a committee to write out so many questions that they wanted to ask and talk about, and excellent questions. I mean, some things I'm not sure I'd even thought about, and that says good things. They're being extremely prayerful, extremely thorough, and taking your charge to them seriously, and that's exciting. I've never seen a time when a committee did that and a church did what we've talked about today and we'll talk about tonight, that God just didn't really do an awesome thing, because he can be counted on. He says, you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. And so I'm super excited about your future. And tonight's message is one I share different places. I love this message because it shows us how to go from pretty good prayer to mountain-moving prayer. It's a theme we're going to continue. And how over the next weeks, your prayers as a church can get even stronger. They're already strong, but can get even stronger. And your faith can get even stronger. You know, sometimes as Baptists, if we're not careful, we know name it and claim it can get a little silly. But if we're not careful, we can be on the other side. We're not believing quite enough. And so I believe God's going to increase your faith even more in the days ahead about not just your next pastor, but your own life and to see breakthroughs. Many of us need breakthroughs. We got loved ones that need to change. We got sometimes marriages, sometimes people we're praying for, situations that are holding us back, like anger or fear get a hold of us. So I love this message because it's full of hope. And with God, nothing is impossible. I want to give you a little illustration because I'm sure you agree with me. The Lord has a sense of humor, at least some type of a sense of humor. One of the ways in my life that was expressed when I was 22 years of age, God promised me a godly wife one day. But kind of like he was putting the stress on one day, like you're going to have to wait a while. And so I started praying for her, and she didn't come for a little while. And then went to my first church out of seminary. I was about 25 and unmarried. And I was an associate pastor, minister of evangelism. Now, within 6 months, I had to become their pastor because of the crisis church was in. But I had no wife. Now, you've heard a lot about a pastor search committee. Our church had the most dedicated pastor's wife search committee you've ever seen in your life. Now, they weren't elected, but they should have been. It was five women on that committee. They met a chairperson. Minnie Parsons was her name. And I mean, every Sunday, two things happened. Somebody had a word from God. They had a daughter or granddaughter, but somehow it never was right. And second thing, I was going to get asked by that chair lady, pastor search committee, we've prayed another week. Have you met her yet? For 13 years, I had to tell those women I still hadn't met her. They said, okay, we're desperate. I thought, you're desperate. And they said, we're going to start fasting and praying because we've tried everything. She's obviously not in this church. And they asked God to tell them how to pray. And he told them to pray that he would speak to somebody that would miraculously introduce my wife to be. There was a man on the other side of Memphis. He was a pastor, and he was in 40 days of prayer and fasting, and he'd never really listened much in his quiet time. Many Americans don't. But he realized, I need to take 10 minutes and just listen. And so he started doing that and in his fasting time. And he said the strangest thing started happening that by that time I was 39, he had a sister-in-law who was 38. And when she was 22, God told her to die to marriage and children, to serve him only. And it was very hard, but she did that. But later he said, I'm going to let you have a husband one day. And so she's 38, I'm 39. He gets this strange impression. He's supposed to introduce her to me. But here's the thing. He thinks I'm a married pastor. He thinks I'm married. So he ignores that. Why am I having that crazy thought? That can't be God, you know. And for 3 weeks every day, this strong thought would come to his mind. And he called the church. And he said, your church, I mean, he said, your pastor is married, isn't he? They said, man, he's the only pastor in West Tennessee that's never been married. He said, hair still in the back. He said, I think I'm hearing God, you know. And he called me up and sheepishly, and he said, would you take my sister-in-law to lunch? I thought, boy, have I ever heard that before. I thought, yep, I'll take her to lunch. You know, I thought, what harm can that do? Within a month, we knew beyond any shadow of doubt God had brought us together. A year later, we were married in the church. This cover, this book cover, the prayer altar on the front was her wedding gift to me. She had it made by great wood craftsman out of solid walnut. We committed it would be the center of our home. We were married on it in my church in Memphis where I pastored 13 years. So God has a sense of humor. And if you're single, don't panic. He really probably won't make you wait till you're 40, okay? But if he does, it's okay if you get the right one. So I thought you'd get a kick out of the pastor wife search committee. Maybe I'll write a book about that someday. Matthew 17:14. Tonight's session is about going to the next level of prayer and faith and seeing the mountains move in your kids, your grandkids, your family, your church, finding that right pastor, but far more than that, getting renewed in the meantime, going deeper. And folks, we just have to be really honest. What's happened in America spiritually is not a decline, it is a collapse. We're not in a decline, it's unmitigated collapse. Spiritually, family-wise, and churches on every corner, strategies run out our ears, but the society's being lost. And we're right on the verge of persecution. I mean persecution. Right on the verge of it. How did that happen? With programs run out of ears, nice buildings, for far more educated. We got 300% more seminary-trained pastors than we did 50 years ago. And yet baptisms for 50 years have gone like this, and morals have gone like this, and judgment's gone like this. If it gets much worse, we're under real persecution. That may not be a bad thing in some ways, but folks, we've got a power failure. And then we hadn't had some power, but we hadn't had anything like the early church power. They shook the world in China right now. Man, the power of God's moving. South America, the power of God's moving. But we're just seeing mercy drops. Here's how, for our family and our church, we go to a whole nother level. I always pray before I read Scripture. Father, help us hear Your Word. Not with just our heads, but our heart. Most of all, God, help us surrender to it. And let You take us to another place as a church, as individuals. And thank You, God, that You're going to hear us by Your mercy. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to set the stage for this Scripture, Jesus had given the disciples power to work miracles and cast demons out of people. That was very impressive, and they were doing it right and left. They were casting all kinds of miracles. It was so exciting. But they had a great big power failure. They tried to cast a demon out of a particular boy, and nothing happened. And evidently, they kept trying because it drew a big crowd, and it was real embarrassing. So they'd gotten humiliated. And, you know, we've all been there one way or another where you get whipped. You get defeated. I mean, you don't want to be, but you are. And that's where they were. Now, the Lord was on the Mount of Transfiguration with three of His men. And when He came back down to that scene, there they were. They were humiliated, and the crowd was kind of laughing at them, you know. And but the Lord has an answer for our power failures. And here's what it is. We pick up reading. When they had come to the multitude, a man came to Him kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's an epileptic and suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to Your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now, wait a minute. He'd given them power. What happened to the power? Has He given us power to walk in revival? Yes, He has. Why aren't more churches doing that? Why aren't our baptisms 300-400% what they are? They are in China. They are in other parts of the world. Well, I want you to see the Lord's reaction. Folks, this is some of the strongest language He ever used, and He used it toward His own people. Now, He loved them, but listen to what He said. Because you remember what the Lord just really hates? Lukewarmness. Just hates it. He still loves us, but He hates that. And He hates powerlessness. Well, look what He said in verse 17. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Do you know what He was saying in plain English? He was saying, how long am I going to have to be on this earth? And how long am I going to have to put up with you guys? This is what He was saying to His disciples. But He still loved them. Aren't you glad He loves us when we do blow it? And He does. But He was very disappointed because they weren't walking in the power He'd given them. Verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, there's a very important spiritual truth there. When the Spirit of God is not grieved in our life or quenched, there will be power. When Jesus is free and on the scene and manifesting His presence in our life, there's going to be power. When He's around, now you say, well, He's everywhere, but He's not manifesting His presence everywhere the same way all the time. You say, He's in every believer, but every believer's not walking in that fullness. And it's very common in America to get used to living here when He really wants us here. And oh, there's a big difference in here. Well, I want you to look at this, what the disciples did. As I said this morning, they usually ask the wrong questions like we do too sometimes. There was three times that the disciples asked the right question. A lot more they asked wrong. This was the second time. The first was when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They finally understood all power is coming from prayer. This was the second smart thing they did. Verse 19. The disciples came to Jesus privately because they were very embarrassed. And they said, why couldn't we cast it out? Do you understand what they were really asking? They were really asking, Lord, why was that one different? Man, they cast out a bunch of other. They had all kinds of other miracles, but that one wouldn't budge. If you ever been there in your life, maybe not about a demon, but just, you know, you have some prayers answered easy, but others just won't budge. You have some things you get over pretty easy and some you just struggle with. Well, here's why that was such a good question. They were really saying, Lord, we don't want to settle for this. Lord, we don't want to accept this lack of power. Lord, we want to know, how can we see answers? How can we see the breakthrough? What happened, Lord? That's a good question. Do you know that we'll have what we settle for? Oh, Manly Beasley, I had a great respect for him. He's with the Lord now. He said to us preacher boys, he said, son, you will have as much of God as you're willing to settle for. And if we're willing to settle for kind of average prayer life, kind of average power, then that's exactly where we'll live the rest of our life. So these guys wanted to go deeper. And when he sees that you and I want to grow, he'll speak to you. Because he knew they meant that. And look at what Jesus said, and he's saying the same thing to us. How are you going to make sure that this you really find exactly the right pastor? But more than that, that the Lord renews you even now in these days. And your own prayer life goes to another level where you're seeing kids and grandkids come back to God, not get ripped away from God. Well, here's his answer, and it's the same to us right now. Verse 20, Jesus said to them, it is because of your unbelief. For verily, verily, I say to you, and some translations have that because of your lack of faith or little faith. He says, for verily, verily, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Do you realize the Lord said that a lot? That wasn't something He said once or twice. You find Him saying that on several occasions, and you find Him saying it different ways. Other times He said, it'll be unto you according to your faith. In another passage, the guy came to Him and said, Lord, if you can do anything, please help me. And He said, what do you mean if I can do anything? If you can believe, all things are possible. So this is a very interesting statement there. And I have to tell you, some commentaries, modern commentaries, I think miss this a little bit. Commentaries from the Great Awakenings didn't miss it because they understood the importance of real faith. But you know, when he said, if you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, he said, guys, it's not so much the size of it, it's the quality of it. It's the reality of it. It's the object that it's in. He was clearly telling them that their faith needed to be purified or strengthened. In other words, we can argue about exactly what it meant, but obviously their faith needed to be strengthened some. So he was saying to those guys, when your faith gets a little stronger, there will be more power. And there's no question about that. Jesus said, it'll be unto you according to your faith. Now, what's happened a lot in America, we don't even realize it, but our faith kind of gets beat down. I'm not talking about saving faith. I'm talking about faith to believe for a mighty move of God or a stronghold to come down. Because we've just seen so much darkness. Think about it this way. Understand this. Praise God, our faith can get stronger. You know, the Bible teaches there's different levels of faith. It's not all the same. You say, where does it teach that? Well, think about what Jesus said. He said to some people, you've got great faith. He was so impressed. And boom, they saw their miracle. And do you know, interestingly enough, it was almost never a preacher he said that to. It was some little old widow. It was some soldier. It was somebody just had that childlike, absolute faith. And he said, you've got great faith. On other occasions, he had to say to others, why is your faith so small? And it was usually his own disciples. Sometimes he even had to say, where is your faith? So folks, we can have great faith. We can have lesser faith. We can even have very little faith. And he's saying that there's something about letting God strengthen your faith. The third good question the disciples asked was in Luke chapter 17, where he said, they said, increase our faith. And yes, he really did. So what he's saying to many of us is that to ask God to help us pray in greater faith is a good prayer. And He will strengthen your faith. We're going to talk in just a second about how to do that. Because, you know, some churches, when you've had a great pastor like you have, you'll be tempted to say, we'll never see another Brother Hosey. And you won't see another Brother Hosey. But we don't want to let the enemy trick us into getting to doubt. Or, you know the old saying, sometimes people say, well, if a guy's been there a long time and he's done a great job, the next guy will really struggle. That's unbelief. That's a lie from Satan. And see, the enemy's good at getting us to believe things that aren't true. He can harm your faith. We're going to talk about how to let God strengthen our faith so the power of God is even greater when we pray. Remember that illustration I gave you this morning about Miss Addie? You remember what happened to her? Her faith went from kind of average. She started claiming promises. And there's a difference there. But that's not the only thing God wants to do. If you look at verse 21, and some translations do not include 21. King James does, and several others do, but some don't. So if it's not in your Bible, understand Mark 9:29. It is definitely there. There is no question he made this statement. So here's what he said. It wasn't just that their faith needed to be strengthened and purified, but that he said, however, this kind does not go out except but by prayer and fasting. Now, that's a very interesting statement, and I will tell you, some modern commentaries ignore that verse. I don't know why, but they do. But here's what he was saying, I believe with all my heart. When he said this kind does not come out, the word kind in the Greek text can pretty much only mean one thing. It means of a certain type or family or order. Do we understand that a lot of what we're dealing with now is a lot more intense than it was 20 years ago? Do we understand that the warfare has really ratcheted up, especially against our kids, our children and grandchildren? Man, compare what it was 20 years ago. We all know the Bible teaches different levels of evil. The Bible talks about principalities and powers. The Bible talks about strongholds that can get in your life. The Bible talks about don't give a place to the devil in Ephesians 4:27. So it's very clear that evil can get concentrated. It can get concentrated in your life and mine where a temper gets a hold of you. And it's a stronghold, or unclean thoughts get a hold of you, or in your child or grandchild. So in a sense, he's saying, when we come up against certain levels of evil or type of evil, it's not going to respond to these little God bless them devotion prayers on the run. And he's saying, you're going to have to go to another level. I do need to ask you a question about that faith thing before we go on with this. I want you to understand that it wasn't that those disciples didn't have any faith. In fact, I want you to answer this question. How many of you have cast out a whole bunch of demons of people this past week? Or raised a bunch of paralyzed people? You know, they had. So clearly they had some faith. They couldn't have been doing that. I hadn't done that. But he was saying, your faith needs to get more in me and go to another level. If they needed that, don't you think maybe we need that? Here's the good news, we can have that. He can strengthen our faith. All right, now when he says this kind doesn't go out except but by prayer, what was he meaning? Were those guys not praying? And some think, well, it meant they weren't praying. I don't think it meant that. Because he taught them to pray. They asked him to teach him to pray. And we know that anybody in that day that had any kind of relationship with God, they did pray. I don't think he was saying, you guys aren't praying at all. Here's what I think he was saying. He was saying, you guys are praying, but what you're dealing with here is going to require praying. Just like there's different levels of faith, there's different levels of prayer. Remember James 5:16 says, it is the effective, fervent prayer of a truly yielded heart that avails much. That has an opposite truth. You know the opposite truth? The ineffective, casual prayer of an unyielded heart avails little. I wish I could tell you it didn't matter how you pray. I wish I could tell you any old prayer will do. They're all fine. They're not. If our prayers don't have any faith in them at all, if our prayers are not in the will of God, or if we're praying with junk in our heart that we're ignoring, he may hear you a little because he's so gracious, but these guys were praying, but they needed to go to another level of prayer. Now later they did. Is it possible that in our busy society with all the little quick 2-minute devotions or no devotions, that a lot of what we're praying for now is going to require just a little bit of an improvement? Yes, it is. Here's the good news. We can all do it, and it's grace, and it's not out of reach, and doesn't take 3 hours, and it's not complicated. So what he was saying to these guys, and boy, later they got it, He was saying, for what you're facing, your faith is going to get a little stronger. Your prayer is going to go to another level. And he even said that word in there, that terrible word to Baptists, not you, because I know you've done this. But when he said prayer and, I hate to even say it, fasting. Now, some will argue, well, I don't think that was in the original text. You know what? It was in a lot of other texts, beyond question. Someone quote the verse for me when Jesus said, if you fast, someone just quote it. You can't. He never said that. Know what he said? He said, when you fast. And he said, guys, when I'm gone, you better know you're going to fast. And they did. You know, the early church fasted like 2 days a week, almost all the time. And it wasn't legalism. They did it out of love. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, we are commanded to seek God with prayer and fasting. That's a command to us, not a suggestion. But the problem is in America, that element of prayer and faith is missing. You know, I really don't understand it. Now, again, he's certainly not saying legalism. If, you know, if we fast to brag about it, we ruined it. Or if we fast to think, well, I'm going to earn something. I'm going to impress God that we've ruined it. But if we do it out of obedience, and don't panic, it doesn't have to be a 40-day fast, okay? You know, just missing a lunch or two a week and spending that time praying qualifies for praying fast. There's different ways to do it. But we have to do it at His leading. You know, I don't understand why that makes a difference, but God said it does, and I'd better believe it. Do you hear what He's saying? He's saying, guys, until your prayers get stronger and your faith gets stronger, with Spirit-led, grace-based fasting, there's going to be a lot of things you're praying for you're not going to see answered. That's pretty sobering. Because remember, a lot of what our kids are dealing with now, it's that kind. If we're going to see revival in this country today, it will be 10 times harder than it's ever been any time in history. It's much easier to have a great awakening back when there wasn't no internet. There wasn't this junk on TV. So, If a little average prayer could have brought a great revival, we'd had the biggest awakening in history about 20 years ago because we said a bunch of prayers. But here's the good news. God's taken us that one step deeper, and a child can do it. It's not, in China, children are doing it. Saved children, older children that really know God, they're having all-night prayer meetings with 10 and 12-year-old children to pray for lost people. And they're coming by the thousands. But they're praying and fasting and believing God. Well, I want to give you an illustration about how to get a hold of this. I'll give you another illustration of a woman. I got a lot of men, too, but I love these, too, because this was a woman who stuttered and couldn't talk well and got convicted about her prayer life going deeper. And she changed her prayer time and added that deep cleansing to it, at least some. Not every day, but quite a bit. And she asked God to increase her faith, to help her, because she had children that weren't getting saved and things like that. And she realized she was praying, but probably kind of in that first gear, that average prayer. She said, Lord, increase my faith. And Lord, I'm going to deepen my surrender. And Lord, increase my power. And He did. I'll give you the short version. But over about a month, she changed. She started changing. God showed her things in her life that was hindering His spirit. Things she didn't know were there. People she said she'd forgiven, she really hadn't. We really do that a lot. Anyway, she started changing. She got so excited because she's never talked to God more than 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, she looked down and an hour's gone. And God just speaking to her. And this little woman started seeing answers to prayer after about 8 weeks. I mean, she really saw some incredible answers she'd been praying for 20 years. Now, boom, God's moving. Folks, God is really holy. This thing of a yielded heart makes a difference. And by the third month, everybody in church was talking about her because she was just like a different person. She used to complain a little bit and had not much joy. The woman was full of incredible joy. And the people were saying, what's going on with her? And it was this deeper type of prayer and surrender. And then the big change, she came to me the fourth month. And remember, she's shy and the woman doesn't like to talk to anybody. And she stuttered some. And she said, Greg, I'm scared to death. I said, what happened to your peace? Why are you scared? And she said, God told me this morning, I got to go witness to all 30 of these people I've been praying for. And she'd been praying for 30 lost people. And she'd never done that in her life. But God filled her heart and she couldn't help it. And she said, Greg, when I pray for them, I even find myself weeping. She said, I've never done that. And she even asked me if something was wrong with her. I said, no, there's nothing wrong with you. That says the Lord's touching your heart. And then God said, go witness to them. Now she's really scared. And she went to witness to all 30 of those lost people. And folks, she took a little track, but it was a good track. It wasn't one of these little shallow ones. She took a good one, full of Scripture. And she told those people, you need to repent. You don't just say a little prayer you don't mean. You need to give your life to Jesus. And I'd been to a lot of those 30, and they didn't much want to hear me. Some of them heard me preach and they get saved. That little woman went to them in the power of the Spirit of God. And the people that went with her said it was terrible. They said, you know, we Baptists got to certify everything. She hadn't been certified with the soul winning program. But they said she stammered, she stuttered, but the power of God was so on that little old woman. 21 of those 30 people got born again. I know what you might be thinking. How many of them just said the prayer to be nice to Polly or to get her to leave and never showed up at church? I'll tell you what her fallout rate was. It was zero. I baptized 21 of her 21 within about a month. You know what God did? He took that beat up, shy, stuttering little woman who took her prayer life from devotional to this, to God seeking. You know what else? She was fasting a couple days a week, missing lunch, spending that time praying for those 30 lost people, just like the Bible says. Wouldn't it be good just to do what the Bible says? And she did it. And God used her more than he used me. Brought a mighty revival to that church. And so what you say, how does this relate to Pastor Serge? In this way, what this team is going to be asking you to do over the next few weeks is to pray through some things you can just do it in your daily life to take your prayer life to another level. So it doesn't mean where we are is bad, and some of you are already right here. I have no doubt of that. Some of you are. But all of us can go deeper. And so you're going to be asked, will you make a commitment even tonight to say, Father, I'll read some things, I'll pray through some scriptures, I'm going to make some efforts to help you take my personal prayer life to a greater faith, to increase my faith. And that's what happened to Polly. God gave her promises for those lost people. Just four or five promises that she kind of prayed for all of them. And man, there's power in that. So it's astounding how when we make some changes in our prayer life, God changes us. Isn't it funny we want to change just by hearing a sermon? I can promise you that'll help you a little, but it won't change you as much as praying through scriptures and changing your quiet time will. You know, Einstein made an amazing statement. He was a very interesting man. I don't know that he really was a believer, but he was an interesting man. Have you ever seen that picture of Einstein with his hair all sticking out and his tongue sticking out? He was kind of unusual. And every now and then he'd come out with these statements that just were wise. And he had this statement I've never forgotten. He said, to do the same thing over and over and over, but expect really different results is a basic definition of insanity. So if we've been saying prayers, but hadn't seen a sweeping revival, it's time to let God change our prayers a little. If we've been saying prayers, but still got a lot of loved ones that hadn't changed and getting worse, it's time to let God take us to these three things. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, help me pray with greater fervency. And Lord, I'll be willing to fast as you lead me. He'll lead you, not me, not anybody else. He'll tell you how to do that. With some, it might not even be food. He might lead you to, you may have a medical problem. You don't need to miss a meal. But it's obedience to God. And folks, there's power there. It's exciting what God does. So the first thing God is doing in churches that are seeking a pastor, God's helping the members, and by the way, it's the Sunday night and Saturday night, folks, that are going to be the core, that are going to be where your future really comes from. He's going to take a group just about this size that are going to really take these adjustments in your prayer life. Again, some of you may not need to make any adjustments. And some of us that think we don't will find we do. I did. Pastor, in 10 years, I found my prayer life needed to go deeper. You know what? It still needs to go deeper. It always will. But it'll never do it without an effort by His grace. Well, the other thing I want to share with you, just two things, is to learn the power of praying in one accord, the power of what John Thebers called it, the prayer of agreement out of the Bible. Let me give you two scriptures that deal with this. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and you find this phrase three or four times in the book of Acts, where it says they were in one accord in one place, crying out to God. That means united prayer. That means focused prayer. That means praying together. Folks, we didn't invent that. In fact, we kind of got away from it. But Jesus said, and I think you can quote this very well, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of strategies. Amen. Programs. Eating together. No. Preaching, well, that's certainly going to be there. Singing, that's going to be there. But oddly enough, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer. If you're driving down the road and you're looking for the best Chinese food in town, and you drive by a place that says steakhouse, are you going to go in there? When he said over his church, because you'd know if it says steakhouse, the thing they mainly do in there is steak, right? So when he says house of prayer, that means that there's to be a lot of united, focused prayer going on among the people of God. And folks, he wasn't talking about, well, we say a prayer at Sunday school or we have a prayer in a worship service. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about the corporate prayer of the temple where they spent quite a bit of time just praying the Word of God together. And you know what? The early church absolutely understood that. You know why? That's what they did half the time. They were born in a prayer meeting. They didn't stop when the Spirit came. They kept praying. All through Acts, you see these statements about them in these powerful prayer meetings, and the power of God would move. But 1950s, modern churches kind of drifted away from that. Do you think we can really drift away from what God says and not lose a little power? Well, that's what happened. But here's the good news. It doesn't have to be a three-hour prayer meeting. It doesn't have to be just Wednesday night or Sunday night. God can lead you different ways to do it. But another passage is Matthew 18:19, and let me be totally honest to the context. You know this passage. He said, if two of you shall agree together touching anything they ask, it shall be done to them by my Father which is in heaven. Now, actually, he was talking about throwing a guy out of the church. Did you know that? The primary context wasn't about prayer there. A man wouldn't repent. And he said, if you guys agree together on this, I'm going to back you up, and he's going to have to leave. But, folks, the principle, it does have an application to prayer, even though that passage was not right about it. But when he said anything you ask, that broadens it beyond that one. Anything is beyond that one situation now, isn't it? And when he says ask, well, that would include prayer. And then when he says pray in one accord in Acts several times, that's exactly what that is. You remember when Peter was in prison don't you love the honesty of God about us and how he's merciful? I love this story. There they were in that big prayer meeting praying for Peter to get out of prison. Praying their heads off, he might get killed, and then they had a big prayer meeting, praying for hours, and the Lord miraculously gets him out of prison. An angel comes, and he gets out. He's walking down, you know, he doesn't want to be walking outside. The Romans are looking for him. And he goes to that room where their praying starts banging on the door. And I guess they're praying it, but go see who that is banging on the door. I guess it aggravates them, and the little girl goes, who is it? It's Peter. She runs back in and says, it's Peter's at the door. Get out of here. He's in jail. That must be his ghost. He's not out there. That's not exactly a lot of faith, is it? Aren't you glad the Lord's merciful? Their faith doesn't have to be perfect, but they were praying together in the power of God. Remember when they were facing great persecution, they prayed together and the power of God shook the room? Folks, what you're going to be doing in the next few weeks is praying together even more than ever. And God will lead you different ways to do it. Search committee and your pastor, but you'll be having times of special prayer. And these cards you've been giving out about, I hope you take that dead serious, because that's praying in one accord. Even though you're not together, you're praying the same things. That's one accord. That's very important. So over the next few weeks, the level of prayer in this church, the committee and your pastor will lead you to take it to another level. And that's going to bring another level of the Spirit of God. Not just about finding another pastor, but about the Spirit of God being even more real in your midst. He's already real, but even more real. And I know that's what you're after, renewal. And most of all, this means some answers coming to those kids you're praying for. Let me give you a good illustration I think will encourage you. I'm seeing this all over the world. Because I have to be honest with you, there's a lot of believers in our society hadn't been taught a lot of what we're sharing tonight. We've kind of stopped with devotional prayer in many cases. We've kind of stopped with the first level. But here's what's happening. The illustration I'll give you is a couple. I could give you many, but this was a couple in North Carolina. Names are Aaron and Beth. And they were in their mid-60s, and they'd been in church, I guess, 40 years at least. They were pillars of this church. He was a deacon. She was a teacher. They'd done about everything you could do to help a church. And very nice people. Their daughter had married a guy, and at first it went well, but he started changing. And he stopped wanting to go to church and just kind of started changing. So they started praying for their son-in-law. And he just kept getting worse. He wasn't getting better. And folks, we're just in an epidemic of that. We're on another level of prayer now. And so, but all they knew to do was just have devotions and just pray a little bit. And they weren't even having devotions together. They just kind of on their own praying for him in a general way. But that's not what we heard tonight. They weren't praying with a lot of, they weren't claiming promises. They weren't fasting. They weren't praying with absolutely clean hearts. They had been told to. And it was getting worse. And in fact, it kept getting worse, and he started hanging around with the wrong people, and he started getting on drugs, and now it's really bad. They just keep praying, doing the best they can, you know, praying the same way. he's getting worse. So they kind of heard what I'm sharing with you tonight. And it dawned on them, we're not doing that. It dawned on them, we're not praying together. We're not united. We're not praying in one accord. We're not agreeing together. And God said that. When he said, my house should be called a house of prayer, that would also include your home. Because the house of God is here. So that means families are to pray together. And so they realize, we're not fasting. We're not letting God search our heart. We're not praying fervently. We're not praying together. And you know what they did? That's four little things. That's not even one hand. But that's four important things. Remember what he said? There's some things you will never see until you do that. That's what he said. They said, we're going to do it. So they changed their quiet time. Both of them separately prayed through about a month of that little, the brown book, which you don't have to, you can just use the scriptures if you want to that are in the book. And they took about a month and they let God totally search their heart. And God showed both of them some things down deep that they were kind of ignoring that was hindering the full power of God. And sure enough, both of them sensed kind of a renewal in their heart. And they were good people, you know. And then they made a commitment, we're going to pray together. We're maybe not every day. But we're going to pray together and we're going to ask God to increase our faith for that son. We're going to ask God to give us some promises to pray for that son-in-law. We're going to ask God to tear down the strongholds in his life. See, God says we've got weapons mighty through God to the demolishing of strongholds. That's a strong word, mighty and demolishing. But we got to use these weapons. And that's the fasting and prayer and that's the praying together. That's where the real power comes from. So they started doing that, and they committed 3 months, and that's not magic, and I'm not telling you, in 3 months you'll have your miracle. It doesn't always happen that way. But the reason 3 months, most of us Americans, if something doesn't happen in a week, we're done. God doesn't work that way. And so they committed at least for 12 weeks. They were going to pray every day if they could, agreeing together, claiming promises, praying, asking God to strengthen their faith. And you know, after about 6 weeks, that guy started getting worse. You say, man, that's awful. Really, that's not a bad sign. Because when you're praying for somebody who's got a real stronghold, when the enemy senses that that God's working on them, he may dig in and try. And so don't be surprised if the thing doesn't get worse. It doesn't always happen. But I warned them about that, and sure enough, he got worse. And they bored in even harder. But they could tell their prayers were different. They could tell the power of God was more real to them. And they were 65, and they'd never done this in their life. Isn't that sad? A child ought to be doing this that knows God. This is not complicated. It's not advanced. It's Christianity 101, but they'd never been taught it. And you know what? Somewhere around that 10 or 12 week mark, he disappeared. Oh, man, that's bad. Well, he was so under conviction, he couldn't come around them. And then he showed up again around that 14, 15 weeks. See, they didn't stop at 12 weeks. They had enough sense to just keep going. And they did. And all of a sudden, he showed back up at church, and there was something different about him. So he ran down that aisle. He fell on his face. I'm a lost church member. That guy got saved. And folks, God got him out of those drugs, got him out of that wrong relationship. That couple now goes around to marriage conferences telling spouses, don't give up on your husband. You know what they really say? They say to grandparents and parents, don't stop with a little God bless them prayer. Go to the Bible and maybe fast a little. Claim promises. Let God give you some stronger faith. And let God get your heart yielded enough where his prayer can flow through you like a river, and that makes a difference. So here's the good news. We can do that. I could tell you story after story of people that had not just kids, but grandkids, grown grandkids. These folks are really advanced in years. Because sometimes you'll think, it's just too late. I didn't pray that much when they were coming up. It's too late now. Folks, we got a God and give that year's locust of eating away. And I've seen some senior adults go deeper in their prayer life. I mean late in life. And see, God do more the last 5 years of their life than they've seen in 40 or 50. Are our kids not worth that? Yeah, they are. Is our church not worth, over the next few weeks and months, you as a church going to a deeper level of prayer in your quiet time? And your faith getting stronger? And praying together more in small groups and maybe some prayer meetings? Oh, I know your answer is yes, or you wouldn't be here. But I got great news for you. God said, you seek me like that, you'll find me. That means you're going to find the right pastor. You say, what if everybody doesn't do it? Everybody won't do it. But if even a good core will, if just half this number tonight, you know what? It doesn't take many Miss Pollys to change a church. And see, you mean I'm going to see 21 in 4 months? No, but how about 2 or 3? That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? You can do this. And many of you are already doing this. But all of us can go deeper. Would you be willing tonight to say, Lord, I don't want to coast? You know, one of our greatest dangers in America is just so easy to coast. You don't mean to. You don't even know you're doing it. I've done it many times. But you just kind of, it's not a bad rut, but it's still a rut. And you just kind of, you've gotten stuck in just devotional prayer. And devotional prayer is great prayer. Nothing wrong with it. And by the way, let me stress, there is nothing wrong with the little devotions. By all means, use the little devotion. They're really good. But they're not designed to be all we need. Let the devotion start your quiet time. Don't let it be your quiet time. Just take a little deeper. And it will astound you over the next few weeks and months. Most people, it takes 3 to 6 months. And they are really different. And they are really seeing some answers. And again, some prayers will take years. But folks, He loves us. He saved us for so much more than just go to heaven someday and get a little blessing along the way. He wants us to move mountains. He wants us to see revival. He wants us to tear down strongholds in our kids and grandkids and our lost neighbors. But this is the only type of prayer it comes from. Now, it doesn't take long. I mean, you can have a strong quiet time in 20, 30 minutes and do this. It'll go longer sometimes, but it doesn't have to. So, do you have a son-in-law, a daughter-in-law, a husband, a cousin, a neighbor, an area of your own heart? Let's be honest. There are times in our lives where we have areas of our own heart holding us back. It may be fear. It may be anger. It may be unforgiveness. It may be unclean thoughts. But you prayed and it's still there. It's not getting better. You've confessed it, but you have to confess it over and over because there's no repentance. God wants to change that. So tonight, would you be willing to say to God, and I'm just going to give you a quiet time to pray right there where you are, that you'd say to God, I want to be like that Miss Polly. I want to be like Aaron and Beth for my kids, for my grandkids, most of all, for my church. Would you be willing tonight to say, Lord, we're going to take what that committee says seriously about prayer things and what the pastor will say about prayer things, about prayer times. And you'll have the opportunity, if you want them, to pray through these books. The two I recommend is one on your quiet time and that brown one on the cleansing. And none of them are big. This blue one, look how skinny that is. On four pages, 48 through 52, I believe, it tells you exactly right out of the Bible how to do what Aaron and Beth did, how to go to war for your whatever it is, for that mountain, for that child, for that marriage, how to really take it to that next step. You can do that. It's so sense in Scripture. But you know what? You got to do it. I don't mean this ominously, but you'd have been a lot better off not to hear anything I said if you're not really going to do it. You know why? You're responsible. You can't say, well, I don't know how, or I didn't know I needed to. Something that little can help you do it. He loves you. Wouldn't it be awesome that 3 to 6 months from now you could say, I've grown more in 6 months than I think I've grown in 6 years. And Brother Greg, there's some mountains that have moved. There's some people saved. There's some strongholds gone. Maybe even by that time, or maybe a little after that or down the road, you'd say, and we've got the right pastor. Well, that's exactly what God wants, and you can do it. You say, I'm too old. No, you're not. Too young. No, you're not. Too weak. No, you're not. God's gracious. You take 5 good steps toward God, He'll take 50 toward you, but you got to take 5. You got to take the 5. He won't make you. What we're going to do right now is just have a time of prayer. Could I ask you just to bow your heads and hearts before God, with everyone just in a moment of quiet prayer? And just between you and God, would you be willing tonight to ask God, Lord, help me make a commitment to strengthen my prayer life? Would you ask Him right now, God, help me to make a commitment to strengthen my prayer life? It may be the little book that you'll need to read, and I'm not telling you have to do that, but you need to do something. With some of us, it'll be setting the clock earlier and showing up for practice. Would you be willing now to say, God, I'll read the book, or I'll set my clock. Whatever I need to do, I'll do it. Would you be willing right now to ask God to help you make some changes, to help you work on this? With some of us, it's the praying together that hasn't been there. And that's a command of God. And there's something about that adds power. And you're sitting there, you're thinking, you know, Brother Greg, that's it. I hadn't done that. You also may be thinking, but I don't have a spouse, or my spouse won't pray with me. Do not let that bother you. You can pray with a friend on the phone once or twice a week. That's united prayer too. Would you be willing right now to say, Lord, I will strengthen the way I pray with my spouse or with other people. I will embrace united prayer. Would you ask God to help you do that right now? With some precious people here tonight, it's dawned on you that you're praying, but you're not claiming promises. You're not praying with a lot of faith. You hope God works, but you're not believing God to work. Would you ask God right now over the next few weeks, God, would you strengthen my faith? Lord, would you help me learn to claim some promises and really believe you? He will. He loves you. Right now, would you ask God to strengthen your faith over the next few days? With some of us, it's fasting. God's commanded that, but you and I aren't doing that. Would you be willing tonight to say, Lord, show me how to fast in my life? And that's unique with each of us. But right now, would you be willing to say, God, I'll obey you as you speak to me? Precious friends, what I want you to hear tonight is this. Those three or four things, to have a real quiet time that's biblical, to have real yielding of your heart, to ask God to be in you mountain-moving faith, and to be willing to use the weapon of fasting, that's critical. So tonight, in those four ways, would you be willing to say, I'll work on the things the search committee suggested to me. Father, thank you right now for answers that are going to come. Thank you right now for people that are going to be amazed how much they've grown in 6 months. They're going to be amazed how, Lord, thank you for how much stronger their prayer life is, how much more they hear your voice. Lord, how much more victory they've seen over things that have held them back. And God, praise you for some answers, some loved ones that will be changed, and some mountains that will be moved. And God, we want to thank you right now for the right pastor in your time and way, whatever that is, that God, this church will go deeper and they will find your perfect will. We thank you, Lord. And if it happens, it'll be by what we've talked about in this kind of prayer. So, Lord, we trust you and thank you that that's going to happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to close this service tonight with a very special time of prayer. I'm going to ask in just a moment that the search committee come down here and they're going to kneel on this altar. We're going to have a very special prayer for them. And, you've charged them to do this. And it's very important that you trust God to guide them. You know, they're spending endless hours studying, researching, looking at every conceivable angle of what might be the will of God for this church. That's their life right now in some ways. And none of them, it's amazing, each one I've talked to is, boy, I'm afraid to do this. You know, they didn't politic for this at all. God put them in this, you put them in this position. Very important that you trust God and trust them and that you let God use them. But there is no more spiritual call anybody than to seek God for the next pastor. That is so critical. So we're going to have a time of prayer and let you pray for them. I'll kind of guide it, but I want you to pray for them. So I'm going to ask that we all stand right now, all of us standing. And I'm going to ask that the search committee would simply come down to this altar right now. And how I praise God for them. And it was wonderful to get to meet with them this afternoon and spend some real time with them. And I've never met a committee I believed anymore was more sincere than this group. So I praise the Lord for them. If you wouldn't mind, folks, just kneeling down here if you can on this first altar. And what I would like to do, we're going to pray for them. And I would like to ask some deacons or elders now, if you wouldn't mind come and just standing behind them. Maybe some, if you're a Sunday school teacher, that's fine too. To just come and, like the Bible says, just kind of lay your hand on their shoulder. Praise the name of God. And folks, I again just want to say what a strong church you are. How excited I am about your future. But you know as well as I, to find a pastor to follow Brother Hosey, that's going to be a miracle. You need a miracle. You don't need a good pastor. You need a great pastor. And this is the only way you're going to... I want to tell you, there's very few like that out there. But there's one somewhere. But he's not going to send that kind of pastor to a church that's not willing to say, we want to go deeper. We want to grow. And you do. You do. Right now, I'm going to ask you just maybe as a congregation, just kind of stretch your hand out toward these folks. Just in assemble, we're praying for you. We support you. And right now, just softly, if you want to pray out loud or just softly whisper or just in your own mind, would you, where you are, would you just pray for God's power, God's direction, God's protection on this committee? Everybody in this room right now, would you just pray for this committee right now? Would you pray right now that, your heart will be utterly yielded to God's Spirit? Every one of us. Would you pray for patience, that you'll be patient to let God work His way? We all have opinions, but it's vital to let God bring the opinions finally to be whatever His will is. We all have to surrender our will, our thoughts, and let God guide all of us. Would you ask right now that that will happen? That eventually there will be a miraculous unity about what to do. Would you pray that? Now I want to pray for the church and I want to pray for this committee right now. Would you just unite with me in prayer? Father, first thank you that this is Jesus' church. That you started it, you built it, you'll continue it. Lord, we thank you for the confidence in that. Oh, we praise you for the miracle of this church, the strength of this church, the ministry of this church. Oh, God, it's such an awesome thing. But Lord, we ask in even the next few weeks and months, it go even deeper, that there be a renewal, a deepening of prayer, a deepening of faith, a deepening of unity. Lord, a deepening of even fasting and power. And God, that there will be warfare that tears down strongholds in our loved ones. Lord, we ask over the next few weeks, many in this room will have loved ones change. But now, Father, we cry out for this committee and we trust you, Lord, to give them, to take every thought captive, that you won't let them get ahead of you or behind you. That, Lord, you'll purify every part of their being, that they will hear you clearly. And, Lord, not just find your perfect will, but the perfect timing and the perfect method in your timing. So, God, thank you that we can pray that. Lord, you said if we lack wisdom, and we always do, that you would give it generously. We trust you to give generous wisdom to this committee in your time and your way. Lord, how we praise you for Brother Hosey. And we trust you in these months remaining. His ministry will go even deeper. And you'll be mighty upon him, Lord. You know, it's not easy to shift. Lord, what a heartbreak that is to him, I know, in some ways. So, Father, we trust you for the next phase of his ministry. Lord, for every bit of this, Brother Hosey, for the pastor to come, for this committee, for this church, that unity will increase, that power will increase, that your direction will be perfect, and they'll get exactly the right one. And Lord, we thank you that this church ministry is just going to keep going stronger. And you'll get all the glory. Lord, the reason we're kneeling tonight is because we know nothing. We all have opinions, but God, yours is the only one that matters. And it may not be in the box, we think. So, Father, we thank you. This church is going to hear you. God, we praise you for this special day we've had. And we trust you that's just the beginning, that many, many, much growth will happen over the next weeks. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the answers that's coming, for the renewal that's coming, for the right answer that's coming. And we praise your holy name that you'll get all the glory and your kingdom will explode with a lot more getting saved and a lot more missions. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things in faith. And all the people of God said, amen. We praise his holy name. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I just am very excited for your future and what God is doing in this church. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, dear brother, that concludes my time as far as the things that I felt I needed to share with y'all today. So I will turn it over to this dear brother and he will conclude as God leads.
Why don't you explain to us some of the books and the texts that you brought with you that we might know some things to talk about?
I will do that. I want to be just helpful as I can be to you. The one that's not here that we're going to send by Wednesday, How to Develop a Powerful Prayer Life. If I were starting with one, I'd start with that one. If you got the brown one, I'm going to start with it. That's okay. But I would do that one because it'll just deepen your quiet time and your prayer life. Then I would do the brown one. Because it's got all those cleansing scriptures, and you can do that one over and over if you want to, because it's scriptures, not my words. And it just helps you get more yielded all the time. The little blue one, Many of us have loved ones. This is about family prayer, but not just praying together, but how to pray for loved ones and how to see a breakthrough. So that little blue one would be of real interest to some of you that have even friends that you're needing to see a breakthrough with. So I would say those three would be the most helpful. There's others back there. There's one on overcoming strongholds is back there, and it's a helpful tool. That's probably, there's several back there, but those are the three or four that I believe would help you the most. Thank you. Thank you, brother.